Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone. Thank you for joining a very special episode of Create Magic at Work. This one, I get interviewed by a new colleague I met in this new world that I'm in, Sam Smeltzer. This is a recording of her interviewing me on her podcast called The Heart of It. And Sam was gracious enough and generous enough to let this interview live on the Create Magic at Work platform and podcast. And I want to share it with you because it really gives you a peek behind the curtain of what can happen for you when you work with me on upleveling your EQ. And it takes a deeper dive into how you can elevate your leadership skills. So, one, thank you to Sam for your generosity. And two, get ready to dive in because this is a good one. And you can hear all the questions that I'm asked that I share almost like a masterclass for you that's free to help elevate your leadership in your life. I'd love to hear what you think of it. And here we go.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Heart of It podcast. Today you're in for a real treat, especially if you are a longtime listener and loved last season, because today is the return of our most listened guest in season two. So excited to talk to her, and we'll get to that in a minute. So let's talk about today's conversation. So there are certain people on this podcast that I meet and I realize are kind of like soul sisters to me, or part of my soul family, because I shouldn't just say soul sisters, because I've met some other really awesome dudes who are definitely in that family. But there's also a strong sisterhood that are some ladies, some fearless, powerful people doing amazing work that I'm very grateful to call my friends. And this woman enticed me from the first moment that her name came across my inbox. And I remember specifically for our first interview, I had to wait several months to interview with her. And her topic was around this concept of spiritual intelligence, which is another wave or level built upon kind of like upon emotional intelligence. And I'm not the expert. She's going to talk about this because I'm going to have her recap it. Regardless, she was our first episode talking about spirituality and how it's what its place is in the workplace, and not from a religious perspective, but from a core essential essence that we need is this concept of spirituality, of being connected to something bigger or knowing we're part of some larger collective. And I think going through 2020, experiencing the pandemic, continuing to navigate that, but having to spend 2020 alone and watching what naturally kind of rose up from that really spoke to our need of spirituality. And meeting Amy, if you haven't figured out who it is yet, but meeting Amy really allowed me to have permission to speak on spirituality in the workplace, because there's just strength in numbers. You know, when you feel like you're experiencing it yourself and it makes sense to you, but you don't have any fellow colleagues that are sharing that, it's scary to start talking about it. I mean, that's just, you know, we want to have that sense of belonging. And I think this episode, if there was anything that happened out of season two, really magnified for me the power of this concept of spirituality, because I truly believe, and as we looked at the statistics, and yes, there are statistics, we look at those things because we want to make sure that we're giving our listeners what is valuable to them, But as we look at those statistics, we can tell that the reason why this episode did so well is because it was on spirituality. Spirituality was in the title on a business podcast because of the way that we are labeled. And you were intrigued. And that tells me that there's this huge community out there. And maybe I'm ranting on this because if you feel like you're alone in this vibing with you, and then you're like, oh, it's me, Sam, and Amy. Well, it's so much more than that. There's so many of us who are feeling this way. And, you know, kudos to Amy. I mean, she's empowered me to continue my work, and she's doing amazing work. I've sent clients to her. I mean, it's amazing. So if you haven't caught on yet, our guest today is Amy Lynn Durham. She is, you know, my go-to expert on the topic of spiritual intelligence. And we are so lucky to have her come back for a follow-up interview so we can dive deeper into this concept that we just scratched the surface on in season two. And I want to say, you know, I hope you enjoy it. I know you're going to enjoy it. I loved this conversation. I didn't want it to end. And I have a feeling this is not the last time that we've seen Amy on the podcast. Okay? So let's get to Amy because that's what you're here for. So here you go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Heart of It podcast. I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm sure that you're really excited because this is probably our most popular guest of season two, and she is coming back to drop even more knowledge on this amazing new intelligence that has been around for a couple of years, but we just have not been talking about it. And I think obviously, it was kind of an instant connection between the two of us because the work that she is doing and the work we're doing at the Heart Center is 100% aligned. So without further ado, I'm so happy to welcome back Amy Lynn Durham. Amy, you want to say hello to the listeners again?
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be back here because I love this show and I love Sam.
Well, and we all love you, Amy, and I love the work that you've been doing. It's amazing to look at the growth that we've both been doing on our own little paths, but Amy is doing much needed work, and I love when we have practitioners that are complimentary because obviously how many of you downloaded and listened to that episode, and if you were listening to it multiple times, it speaks to the fact that we're on the right track of this is what's the future and this is what is absolutely needed. So if you missed the episode, I guess we should recap that and just get them filled in. But it was called Spiritual Intelligence is talking about SQ. We've heard about IQ and EQ is really popular with leadership. But Amy introduced this concept of spiritual intelligence with us. And Amy, can you just kind of do a 2-minute kind of recap of what spiritual intelligence is so that those people who don't know will go back and check out that episode?
Sure. 2-minute recap of SQ. Let me try. No, so spiritual intelligence is defined by Cindy Wigglesworth, who developed the 21 skills that you can skill build in, as the ability to maintain inner and outer peace, regardless of the situation that you encounter in your life. It's also a way to describe it is to put your day-to-day concerns aside and access that place from within you that comes from wisdom and compassion. See the big picture view, things like that. You get to SQ by way of EQ, I should mention. So you don't have to be super studied in emotional intelligence. And at the same time, as long as you have exercised some self-awareness of your emotions, you have an emotional management strategy, you can build connections, you sort of get to SQ through EQ.
Yeah. And, I think as I was playing around, because obviously when we first met, I was very much obsessed kind of with this SQ concept. And I did some digging on Cindy and watched her TED talk when she talks about how she started that work and her telling the story of what led her to that path to start the research 100% explains why we're all in alignment because she started in a very similar place as me and those of us who are doing this type of work. So highly recommend checking that out and diving into more of those resources as well. and also checking out the episode that we did on spiritual intelligence, because Amy obviously unpacks it in a lot farther, greater detail than what she could give in 2 minutes, as I just tried to get her to do like the best sales training ever.
Yeah. Elevator speech. Go.
So, you know, just as I was talking about like the story that Cindy had in regards to how she started coming up with spiritual intelligence, you know, I think we didn't really talk about this. Maybe we touched on a little bit in your first episode, but I'm really interested to know kind of your winding path that led you to being so in tune with spiritual intelligence. I mean, because there's lots of coaches out there who come across tools and we usually have a very vivid toolkit. And then there's those who know, like, this is a really special tool and this is the one that I really need to bring to the forefront. And so can you identify any kind of specific kind of guidepost experiences when you were a leader that kind of led you to really resonating with spiritual intelligence and why you are so passionate about bringing this work forward?
Yeah. When I was a corporate executive, I knew I needed more. I think I was hitting that point that they describe in the adult development theory where you start accessing your SQ, which is sort of your early to mid 30s. And I knew I was going to leave my job. It was a very grueling job. I worked for a publicly traded company. We had sales, we had quotas, we had quarterly business reviews, profit and loss, Excel, like nonstop pressure. I had about over 400 employees and I managed about $38 million a year in operating income. But something was missing, and what was missing was my creativity was being stifled in the workplace. And what I had discovered spirituality, because as many people do through the dark night of the soul, I went through some dark times in my life. And it's so interesting, the paradox, I guess you would say, how going through dark times makes you more grateful when you come out the other side. And so I had discovered, for me, energy work was big, clearing my chakras, meditation. That's what worked for me to move me through that phase. And I was working on a lot of those things at home. So at home, I was spiritual Amy. And at work, I was corporate Amy. And I needed to, in hindsight, it's not like I knew all this at the time, but I needed to merge the two. And so I planned on leaving my job because I knew I needed something more for a year. And I was super nervous about it because of the way we're all raised. You need a job, like a corporate job. You know, my parents are like, what are you doing? Like, so I left my office one day when I was planning to leave my job, and there was a magnet at a store I was shopping at that said leap and the net will appear. So I grabbed the magnet right away, and it's on my refrigerator to this day. And what I did was I used my employees throughout that year to do these field tested activities to prove that bringing heart and human connection actually increases productivity and profitability. And then I put all those activities in my book. So what we were really doing was skill building and EQ and SQ, even though they didn't know it, because when I left my job, I didn't want anyone, this is probably my ego, and I know we're talking about ego today, but I didn't want anyone to say, oh, she couldn't hack it. That's why she left. You know, I came from a very competitive environment. So the competitor in me wanted to prove, hey, when you bring people together and connect them in a deep and meaningful way, we actually win. Mm-hmm. And that was what I did.
Wow. You know, your story, it's almost like creepily eerie how it mimics kind of what's happening in our landscape right now professionally. I mean, you made that move before we had a global pandemic. So we had global pandemic that we're still navigating, quarantine that basically forced people into, you know, this might be like a little too deep, but these dark nights of the soul, like, you know, extroverts were forced to be by themselves, isolated for long periods of time. And even introverts, I mean, you were given this perfect environment to go deep and start questioning things that without having a provoking kind of unsatisfactory event happen at work. And so I think a lot of the upheaval we're seeing in the workplace is a result of that. And also, I think that speaks why people are vibing so much with this concept of SQ and awakening and applying it more in a professional context and not just keeping it isolated to this is what we do at home to take care of ourselves. Like, we're realizing how much that work aspect, it plays a huge component in our wellness and our well-being. Like, you can't separate those two.
Yeah, and I think we were trained to separate them in the workplace, in the systems that we worked in for a really long time. So it was like, let me take off this mask and leave it at home and then put this mask on for the day when I go into work. And you're compartmentalizing yourself. And so as I left my job, I wrote the book, Create Magic at Work. I attended the UC Berkeley Coaching Institute. And all of that journey, that work, the education, all of that helped me merge being my authentic self, no matter what room I walk into. And it's not easy, but it definitely is freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that a path, that journey of authenticity is very similar in experience for most of us. And I think you see this, you know, Brené Brown, who has put it all on the pages, shows this through her books, that it reveals itself almost in layers before it kind of, as you said, merges into this true authentic nature that we then carry through in all aspects of our life. So I think you really are exemplary in that fashion of what is possible if you integrate SQ into your life and the benefits of it. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. And I do want to add, a lot of it too has to do with, you have to not care what other people think as much. And that's really hard, especially when you go out on your own, like I have, because, you know, if I'm selling a product in the corporate world and a customer is like, ah, oh, this sucks, I don't like this, then I don't feel hurt, you know, but if somebody makes a comment about Create Magic at Work, it's different in the entrepreneur space. So you have to really detach from that too. And I just wanted to add, you know, as I was merging those two selves together, I guess you would say, that's when I started getting a lot of people just asking me about spiritual intelligence, because those activities were kind of weaved in. And then universe, of course, says, oh, here, there's 21 skills that were already created that you can use for the workplace, ground down into something tangible. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this, like you just said in your question, this one tool, this one instrument is like a lifetime of work that you can do. I'm so passionate about it. You can pick one skill and work on one skill your whole life, or for a week, or for a month, or for a year. I mean, whatever resonates with you, right? So I'm very passionate about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the, you know, that's the true embodiment of it truly being a spiritual intelligence. I mean, spirituality hints to our greater purpose and path. And it is our life. It's our life's work. It's what makes it have meaning, so that we're not just born and then dying and hanging out in between.
Yeah. Using our meat suits in a positive way.
I love that. That totally could be a t-shirt, Amy.
Use your meat suit in a positive way.
Or a hashtag or something.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So today we thought that it might be, we didn't have the ability to do this in the first episode because we were trying to cover just on a higher level what this was, this concept, and introduce it. And so there's a couple of quadrants in these 21 skill sets that are highlighted. And so I thought we could kind of dive into quadrant one to just give a little bit of perspective. And from my understanding, and obviously you're the expert here, but quadrant one deals a lot with self and self-awareness. And I think the reason why I want to start there is because I think this is the space that we're finding a lot of people are hanging out in right now, as far as just the way the world is working. It's pushing us to really try to increase our self-awareness, We have people who are, being challenged in trying to identify what that means. So I guess the first thing that I should probably ask is, when we're talking about these quadrants and these skill sets, you know, just because I'm talking about quadrant one, is this from a spiritual intelligence philosophy? Is that where you would start? Or is it just how they're categorized? And then kind of go from there. You can kind of.
If any of the listeners are familiar with Goleman's EQI quadrants, the SQ quadrants are similar, except meaning like in the way that they're laid out, 1, 2, 3, 4, except quadrant one and quadrant two are interchangeable to allow for cultures that put community first over self. Are you a passionate, high-achieving executive at the director level or above who feels like you've lost yourself? Are you feeling called to go to the next level of your leadership? Could you benefit from going beyond EQ and deepening your spiritual intelligence so you can solve your everyday problems to make better decisions for yourself and your team while maintaining inner peace? I can help you tap into your own inner magic and elevate your leadership in my private one-on-one coaching program. To apply to work with me, click Work with Amy in the show notes or go to createmagicatwork.net and click Work with Me. I look forward to seeing you. So quadrant one is higher self versus ego self-awareness. Quadrant two is universal awareness. And those two quadrants are, to answer your question, that inner work that you, it almost describes what I was talking about with me at home before I took, you know, combined everything. It's what you work on internally. And it's exactly what you said, to move forward. Quadrant three and four is when the outside world starts noticing, oh, Sam is a really calm and healing presence. I feel like I can be a better person when I'm around her. But quadrant one and two are, yes, the internal work that you need to do before the outside world starts noticing. And because how can you, and I know we're going to get into this, but how can you access your higher self until you've worked on the awareness, right? And that's quadrant one, the awareness of the ego versus your higher self.
So on average, how long do people spend in, and maybe there's no answer to this, but humor me, in the internal work before you start to see an actual observable external, like before you start to transition to three and four? I know it probably varies on everybody, but is there like, if someone's like, well, how long does it take before people start noticing a difference in me?
I would say it can be instantaneous and it can be for a lifetime at the same time. It's almost, there's a lot of paradoxes with this. Every day we can practice recognizing when our ego is triggered and it arises and accessing our higher self. And some days, maybe we didn't get any sleep. Maybe we, you know, haven't ate right or we don't feel good. And we're having, and our ego might be in the driver's seat that day. So there's always practicing that awareness of the ego versus the higher self. When we talk about skill five in quad one, so skill five in quadrant one is the awareness of the ego self and the higher self. And there's different levels that you can score on where you're at in the SQ assessment. And when you're at level five, this is the coolest thing to me ever. It is when you have made friends with your ego, is I guess the way I would put it. It's complete and joyful surrender of the ego to the service of the higher self. And so the ego never disappears because you need it to navigate the world, but it no longer competes for authority with your higher self. It feels secure, and it feels secure in your life through service to your higher self. And that is level five of the awareness of ego and higher self. That's like level five, like, I'm just joking, or like Deepak Chopra status, right? Or something like that. But there's a lot of individuals that take the SQ assessment that come back level five. They have really worked. I commend them because I know the deep work that that entails. And they have gotten to a point in their life where their ego can be in service to their higher self and feel secure. Like, how cool is that? Like,
that's awesome. So, yeah. We were chatting about this before we hit the record button, and there's, you know, anybody who's doing any sort of spiritual work, ego is a term that's thrown out a lot. And everyone kind of defines it differently. I love that you talk about the goal of becoming friends with the ego, because the task and the goal is never to make ego disappear. Like, I think that's like a myth that's out there. Like, we're taught that it's this horrible, evil thing that has to go away. And until it goes away, then we have no chance. So I love how you were already kind of talking about the dance between higher self and ego. So can you try to put those in more layman's terms to say what really is the purpose of the ego and what is higher self, and what exactly are these things that you're referencing?
So in SQ, your ego is the sense of being separate, an individual person, the components of your identity. And in other teachings, it's also helps you maintain your personal safety, your health, and your well-being in times of emergencies, I would say, right? Like, let's say somebody cuts you off in traffic and you have to slam on your brakes. You're not going to, you know, say, oh, let me take a moment to access my higher self and see what decision I should make here. No, your ego is going to rise up and you're going to slam on your brakes. We need our ego because we are humans in our meat suits and we are separate in our bodies, right, from each other. And so the ego plays a really great part in protecting you. I'm thinking back to like old ancient days, you know, a lion's chasing you, your ego is going to spark you to fight, flight, or freeze, to run, to fight, to freeze. Those types of things are what I think of when I think of the ego in the workplace. It's more, I'm defensive because I feel attacked, or I feel shut down because I don't feel heard. Those are a couple of examples that I can think of offhand. That's your ego sort of getting in the way of your higher self. And then your higher self in SQ is that place within you that comes from wisdom, compassion, and love. The unselfish, loving, and wise essence within you. And so, like you mentioned, there's always a dance between the two, right? And we don't want our ego to run our lives. That's no way to live. We want our ego to be there to protect us. But like I said in the description, level five of awareness of ego and higher self, the ego is in service to the higher self. And it knows, hey, you're throwing a tantrum, you need to take a nap. If it's getting out of hand, the higher self can put it down. I got this. Okay, here's another way to think about it too, because I went into like the SQ definitions. If your ego rises up in a way that, you know, let's say somebody makes you upset at work, or you feel like they're undermining you or trying to take your job, I'm just making stuff up, and you're writing all these stories in your head and you're creating all these judgments, that's your ego rising up, right? Your higher self can come in if you've worked on skill five and say, hey, let's stay curious. Let's ask meaningful questions about this. Can you even split personality yourself? This might sound crazy. And have a conversation with your toddler ego that might be throwing a tantrum and say, what are you afraid of? It's okay. I got this. Adult Amy, higher self Amy, is running the show now. You can take a nap because I'm going to operate from a space of wisdom and compassion. Stay curious and ask meaningful questions. I got this. Don't worry. We're all multiple personality now. So just kidding.
No, but I think, you know, I appreciate all the ways that you kind of unpack that because, you know, we use the terms higher self even in my Chinese medicine studies. And I personally do struggle with trying to bring that to a place where other people can understand that haven't been immersed in that kind of work. And most of the times when you say higher self, they automatically link it to a divine source, connecting to spirit guides, and is referencing a knowledge and an inner wisdom that is yours, that's not from the outside. And I love, that's part of the reason why I love the way it is stationed in the quadrants with SQ, because it hints at it being inner work, not this external kind of hookup. You know, when you have that external kind of download, that's more like enlightenment kind of stuff happening.
Yes. And I love that we're talking about this, because this is so important. Quad one, when you have this awareness of your ego and your higher self, you can recognize when your ego is triggered, and you can start skill building and operating from a space of being more in your higher self in your day, or coming from your higher self. Quad one attaches to quad three. So once you have that awareness, so you can work on these at the same time. That's why it's not really in order, like we were, you know, like you were asking before. So quad three, there's two skills in quad three. One is skill 13, and it's keeping your higher self in charge. And then there's skill 16, which is seeking guidance from your higher self. So we've got the awareness now. We can work on having the ego be in service to your higher self. Now, how do you keep your higher self in charge? And how do you seek guidance from your higher self? And I wanted to bring that up because before we started recording, you were talking about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, well, and let's just go there, because...
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. I think
let's go there.
Let's just go there. Because, you know, and Amy and I were discussing right before we got on that there's always almost kind of like a divine timing of when these episodes are meant to happen and be recording. And so literally, you know, my clientele have been noticing this trend, which I don't think is a new trend. It's just people who are finally willing to come forward, because one of them, and you would appreciate this, Amy, had said to me when they showed up for their first appointment, said, I've been following for like almost a year, but I didn't think that I was in a bad enough state to like get help. And I'm like, so you're waiting till you're in the dark depths of night. So those things that Amy was referencing, these really hard, challenging times, you know, you don't have to start the development then. It's a lot easier to navigate if you start it early on, when you start to feel kind of the little nudges or are just vibing with the stuff that we're talking about here. So anyways, long story short, the trend that's happening is that there's an inability to hear higher self. So the ego is pretty obvious. It usually is the loudest voice that most of us grow up with and have functioning. And so I think this is really fascinating to talk about tapping into that higher self, because the awareness of the higher self is what really allows us to start feeling that sense of meaning and purpose and even balance and energetically shift ourselves in really new, empowering ways. And so it's just amazing to me to watch these people who have let the external world almost beat them up to the point that, to me, it's like that higher self voice is so quiet that it's hard to even hear it. And they don't like, nobody wants to hear that they can't hear their higher self. And that they, you know, because everyone wants to think they're trying to do what's best. And I don't think it's anyone's fault when they can't hear it. But so what are those other steps in awareness? Like if you're working with somebody that's struggling with that, that they can't really hear it at all, maybe is defaulting to ego because they're so afraid because of everything, life circumstances that have happened, you know, how does somebody start to unpack it and start to open their awareness and start to shift themselves so that they can start moving through these quadrants and have that level five, you know, that you're talking about? How do we start unpacking that, you know?
I have so many thoughts from what you just said, thinking about the pandemic. And I want to make sure I say that we need to make sure we don't villainize the ego, because the ego is there to protect us. We just need to recognize when it's irrational, if you will. And I think about the pandemic and how there was a lot of ego triggered to protect. Okay, we go into lockdown and people start ransacking toilet paper and paper towels. You know, and like, I need to protect myself. I need to, this is going to make me feel okay. So recognizing when you're in those moments and just taking a breath, is this my inner wisdom and compassion and love, Amy? Or is this my ego freaking out that I need to stockpile toilet paper to feel safe? I'm just making up an example there. To answer your question, I personally think that you never master these skills. I think that they're always a life journey and that the universe will present you with new challenges once you think you actually have it together. I attended an SQ summit and they asked us what we've lost the last 18 months and what we've gained. And I'm going to just share a personal story. You know, I felt like I was really doing well with my SQ, accessing my higher self, seeking guidance from my higher self. And I know you mentioned it in the last episode we did, that I had done a video that we were so inundated with self-care tips and this is what you should do and here's these workshops that you should take. And it happened to me. And what I said at that SQ summit was, I lost my agency over the past 18 months and my own independent ability to make decisions for myself. And I also got it back because I got caught in this trap of it being in all of these different workshops and all of these different courses and listening to these experts. And rather than sitting with myself in the uncomfortable feelings and accessing my higher self as far as what felt right for me, I would run to an expert to tell me what to do. And prior to this, I had taken the SQ assessment months before and I was fine. But because my life got rocky, I started giving up my own independent, my own agency. Big SQ failure, big for me. To give up my responsibility to make decisions for my own life to someone else, that's an SQ failure. I'm being hard on myself, right? But, and then there's the radical self-forgiveness and it was just like, oh my gosh, it was like I had come through this dark forest to this clearing. I can decide how my life goes. And I went back to skill 16, seeking guidance from your higher self. Yes, I can go to experts and get their advice, but they're not going to tell me what's right for my life. I'm going to access my higher self. And it might take a couple days or even longer to figure it out, but I'm going to make the decision for my life and what feels right. And I bring that up because I know, the algorithms on Instagram and different things like that sort of push what we see. I don't know if I should be going off about this, but there's a lot of trauma algorithms that come up. Hey, you need to do your trauma work. Hey, you need to do your trauma work. Hey, you need to do your trauma work. And it kind of became a popular thing to dive into. But did you know that if you do trauma work all the time, you can actually train your nervous system that it's just supposed to feel like crap all the time. You have to have fun. You have to play. You have to enjoy life. You have to train your body that life is enjoyable as well. You don't have to dive into the ocean all the time. You can come up for air. And then also astrology is really popular, you know, and I love astrology. However, we want to make sure we're accessing our higher self and what's right for us when we hear messages from others.
I love how you did kind of a round robin and hit some of these popular kind of things. When you were talking, I was thinking about, there is someone that I followed very early on when I was in my spiritual journey, Danielle Laporte, who kind of has made her career on sharing her dark nights of the soul, which was really inspiring. But one of the things that she did almost right when we were coming out of quarantine, and she actually was giving away all of her books. And it kind of like took me back because I have tons of books. I love my books. I love having my library and my references. And it's like having little pocket versions of experts. I mean, Amy's one of them on the shelf as well that I can go run in and reference anytime. And she was giving them away because she basically said that it had become a hindrance for her to hear her higher self, that she was just obsessed with these books and that new knowledge, and she needed to let it go because this was the time where she needed to connect with herself. So she was basically gifting them so that they could go service other people, because they weren't, it was basically doing a disservice for her because at that time it wasn't what was best. And I thought, wow, you know, there's so many things that we assume are just good for us, but is it really good for us and serving us when we tune in to us individually, which is a lot of what you're talking about, is what do you need for yourself? What is the best for yourself? And you can apply that in so many capacities. I mean, even like food, like intuitive eating is talking to your higher self to find out what actually serves you food-wise. And that can be so blazingly different and weird for anybody that I know that truly intuitively eats. They're, you know, chowing down on blueberries because it helps give them greater clarity and focus. Why? I don't know. My body's been craving the blueberries. And yes, you can back the science and research why maybe they were craving blueberries. But the higher self usually is the one that guides it. That's why we have cravings and all those kinds of things. So I think it's fascinating you sharing that. And I also appreciate your vulnerability and, you know, that whole thing about this SQ failure when the outside is influencing us. I mean, but that was my rock bottom, was when I realized that I was not having a say in my own life, that it was basically dictated by everything externally. And that's when I started my journey and started this entrepreneurial journey of healing. And I still fall flat. I still have tons of stuff in my life that are a result of other people who have made decisions, and I'm trying to offload it and bring it back so that I can be better in tune. So definitely your story obviously resonated with me, and I have no doubt probably is resonating with others as well. So,
and it also is this trust building exercise with yourself. I trust that whatever decision I make for myself, that I'm going to be okay on the other side, no matter what. Even if I shatter, I made this decision and I'm going to be okay. It got to the point for me where the universe was giving me mixed messages big time, because in hindsight, it's like, it was like, hey, you need to make this decision on your own. And it was giving me mixed messages on purpose. So I don't blame any of the, you know, professionals I was running to when my safety or my ego was triggered. They're all practitioners that want to do well and be in healing. But this was a bigger thing, that it was like, let's get back to your higher self and what works for you and your own inner wisdom that you can access. And it was deep stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first started studying Chinese medicine and I met my teacher, and he wrote his own book as well, and definitely talked about how finding Qigong was a spiritual journey for him. But one of the things he always constantly referenced was that he had gotten to a spiritual place, and I'm going to take this to a religious aspect of his higher self, this higher level of knowledge, which is basically the equivalent of God being present within us. And really had talked about how, you know, taking, you know, things that you have heard about how we're all God's creations and we're God's children and we're created divinely. And if you read all those kinds of religious scriptures, he basically said, because we are this beautiful divine creature, we have that higher knowledge within us, which is the voice of God or whatever your belief system is. And that really, was a game-changing statement for me as somebody who was raised Catholic and trying to figure out how all this stuff fit with my traditional Catholic beliefs. Because, you know, religious as a structure and us talking about spirituality, it's almost like we're trying to keep them separate, yet we have to find a way to merge them together in our brain as well, because there's a reason why we reach out towards religion. And so I guess I bring that up just to share with, you know, as you're sitting with this concept of spirituality, spiritual intelligence, how that goes into the workplace. You know, Amy shared, does it not belong at the beginning? She said corporate Amy, spiritual Amy. And now we're seeing that the greatest success is when Amy shows up authentically. And that includes our belief systems, which is religion. So if you're holding back because what we're talking about is making you think of your religious beliefs, that's part of this journey and that path too. And I think that's just important to put out there that we're not talking about, you know, spiritual intelligence is not atheist work, that you have this human being all powering. It's a meditative inner work to figure out who you are and increase awareness of yourself. Does that even make sense, Amy?
Or yeah, did I just that absolutely. We in SQ, we use faith neutral language. So whatever religion you follow, or if you are agnostic or atheist, you can still work on the skills. So whatever language you would like to use for that wisdom within God, within universe, within the light, within your higher self, your inner wisdom, it's all interchangeable to me. As long as you are creating an awareness and, you know, working on the skills, it really helps you maintain some inner and outer peace for sure. I will say that it's been interesting. And even some of my clients that score very high in the SQ assessment, the assessment spits out thousands of different types of responses based on their score. And I had one client that was scored very high. And what was interesting to me was the assessment said, you keep doing this. You're doing a great job. Understand that the universe, world, God, however you want to put it, will present challenges to you for you to use these skills in your life. And understand that this is a gift for you because you now have these skills to use them when these challenges are presented. And the way that was framed really opened me up to be more accepting of the challenges that are presented to me in my life. And in my day-to-day.
Well, I obviously am so grateful for this discussion because I, you know, sometimes I kind of am overly critical of myself that I can't simplify this whole topic of ego and self-awareness and higher self. And the complexity of these topics come from the fact that it is an intimate relationship with yourself, and it's going to be 100% dictated by your individuality as to how this materializes. And at the end of the day, the universal truth is that we all have ego, we all have a higher self, and they talk to us all the time. And the skill set that needs to be developed is tapping into them. So, Amy, I'm really grateful that you kind of helped us unpack that in a greater depth. So I guess before we wrap up here, do you have anything else that you want to share or anything else on this topic that I didn't tap on to yet that you want to share with the listeners?
My only final thought is think about that as a leader in the workplace who's maybe in charge of thousands of people that has to make really, really tough decisions. How nice would it be if all leaders were working on these skill sets? Because like I just said, you're going to be presented with challenges and you're going to want to use these skills you've worked on to rise to the occasion of those challenges. Whether it's a pandemic and the whole workplace has to change, you've skill builded in these areas so you can be a better leader when these challenges arise. Mass layoffs, whatever the case may be, right? And I just wanted to really make sure that we touched on that.
Thank you, Amy, so much. As always, it is an absolute pleasure. And yeah, I'm so grateful that you have come into my life and come into the listener's life and are part of the Heart of It family. So
thank you.
And thank you to everyone for listening. I know that you probably got lots to noodle on. And make sure that you learn more about Amy and SQ by checking out the information and links in the show notes. And I will talk to you next time.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less drama and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal that just released, and it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. Connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.